have it when... Oh, oh, cigar fell in the... Oh, oh, wait. Okay, it's out. Nothing got burned. It's all right, everybody. Just calm down.
That deer lady is poison. This is Core.
Hey everybody, welcome to Core. This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson with John Jagger and Bo Schwartz, and I would like to start things off by saying this. Well, it's a question, really, and I want you guys to answer it for me. Is it strange that I don't seem to care anymore about the Vulture mount? That, in fact, I feel like I might actually and actively resent the Vulture mount because of my poor experience with the Recruit a Friend program. And I'm not even hardly seeing most of my friends, including you guys, pull that mount out very often. And so I've turned into the anti-Vulture. Am I
now known as Spider-Man?
I really don't care now. And I don't want to say that so that those who have been out there leveling, although only one of you went max 10 and everyone else gave up at 4 or 5. I'm not saying that so that you feel bad for any work you may have put in. But my method of getting the mount soured me to the point that I really don't feel like I very much care now. And even though I've seen the mount now, I've seen it in action. It is real cool. Mounting in the game isn't just simply a cosmetic thing. It's a important part of the game. But Bo, I've been watching you ride around on a deer lady all week who doesn't need a mount. Turns out, her mount are the hooves she was born with. So I don't know why I feel this way, but I kind of don't care now. And I cared so much before. Like last week, it's all I wanted to talk about was how I felt like I was being wronged or whatever. Now I'm just kind of like, meh.
I don't think it's crazy. I think it did, for me, it really sucked because I got the Vulture mount and then I started playing Lunera like every match. So yeah. I didn't need that new sweet mount.
Yeah, you didn't. You hardly spent any time on that mount, as far as I know. A little bit, maybe.
No, but you know, when I do play other characters, I am on that mount. But let's talk about mounts for a second. Let me just veer off to a side lane real quick.
Okay.
And say that, you know, there are, I don't know how many mounts now, 20 maybe mount. Like, you can't use all the mounts all of the time. And while it's good to collect them, at a certain point, you know, you got to say like, okay, maybe I'm not getting that mount. You know, how much do you want to be a collector of all mounts in this game when collecting just involves mostly paying money for it or doing something really challenging to get it? It's actually okay just to be like, you know, that's a mount I don't want. So I think if you look at it and say, you know what, not a big fan of the way they implemented Refer a Friend. I'm feeling kind of disappointed that the people who, you know, have referred or, you know, it's taken forever. Maybe it's okay to just, you know, say, you know what, I don't want that mount. But actively resenting the mount, is it the mount or the Refer a Friend program? Like that, I mean, it's okay to feel that way because you're human and you can't control how you feel. So if it makes you feel crappy, then that's just how you feel. So like, what is it specifically? Is it the method to get it? Or is it just that the mount itself seems so unattainable and that you hate it for being that unattainable, cool thing you can't have?
By the way, just for the record, it looks like there's about well over 30. I'd say probably 34 or 35 mounts total.
Wow, that's a lot of mounts.
It's a lot more than I thought. I went through and counted them real quick. The resentment thing. It's weird. I mean, I made it very clear on the show last week that I was upset with the way they were handling it, or that they held that over our heads as this exciting thing they were going to release at some point that I figured I could either spend cash or gold on. And, last second said, oh, and by the way, this is part of this, whatever. And we've all had some consternation with that particular move. But I think where I resent it is just feeling like maybe I'm mad at myself because I bought into this hype wave of the Vulture mount must do all I can to get it. But I'm angry about how I have to. You know, and I had this whole like fight with myself. And at the end of the day, it's fine. Like I got a bunch of other mounts from my bundle purchase and I kind of don't care. I don't know. Resenting it and caring about it are two different things. I agree with you. And I don't know why I feel this way. It just feels a little dirty to me now. Like, do I really want to have that nasty vulture between my legs right now? Maybe not so much. Oh. I've gone too far, haven't I?
I think you do, though. Mm. I think if all of a sudden you woke up on, let's say, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And you rubbed the sleepiness out of your eyes and like a small child ran down the stairs and logged into Heroes of the Storm and miraculously somehow Santa had leveled all of your friends who signed up to level 10. I think you'd be like, sweet, a vulture. I think you would actually like it. Not to say that it would be the only mount you ever used. I don't think anybody's gonna use it. But I think there's probably an element in there that is just like, all right, well, I need to come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to get it. Because I think there's an element right now that feels like, well, I'm probably not going to get it.
Well, and here's the truth. I actually haven't logged in since I got back from, we did a little weekend trip, and I've just gotten back, haven't been able to play the game all weekend. It's possible here on this Sunday night that if I log into the game, I may even have the freaking thing.
So you can have it right now.
So what we're going to do is we're going to live on the show here, live to hard drive. I'm going to click it, and if it's in there, okay, it came up. Let's see. Did I get it? I didn't get a message. Click and recruit a friend. Oh. Okay, well, it's not as dire as I thought. Two of the four, there's five total doing it, but there's two of the four have gone to completion. One is at level 9, almost 10. The other one's at 5 still. And then one other guy at 4. So I might actually be on my way. All right, well, let's talk about what that just did to me psychologically to see that there's been some progress. I'm a little less resentful now.
Man, you're quite a fair weather friend.
I know what it is. I know what it is. Now that I've seen that and I've felt that emotion shift, I think it's just I'm bugged that I tried to do this the way they want me to, and even then it's a little sketchy because I put it out on, you know, for all I know, these are listeners of the show who are smurfing these characters. I don't know, but let's say that they're legit. And I put them on my Twitter account legitimately, and that's where I asked people to do it, and I did it twice. I didn't spam them or anything. I did two times over a couple of days' time. I guess I'm just bugged that method didn't do it, whereas the method that everyone else used just got you there. So this resentment's not toward you guys or anyone else who smurfed those. I think people who did had not only every right to, but the system was such that it encouraged them to, and it'd be almost dumb if you didn't. So I took the other path on purpose to say, well, let's see what happens. And I guess I'm just disappointed that what happened was a slower, possible, maybe get it kind of thing. But by the time I do, will I have remembered I was even doing it? Will I care that much? Maybe I will. Maybe John's right. I get it on Christmas Day, and it's a Christmas miracle, man. I see that, and I just go, oh, it's just like a, you know, praise Jesus moment. I don't know. But right now, I feel like I don't know, just bugged that the way they wanted people to use it isn't working very fast for me. And my expectations may be too high on what that speed should be, I guess.
It feels like the program was specifically designed for bring four other people in and play together. I think we're in a unique situation where we have a voice and we can ask people to help, and our voice spreads a little farther than the average person because it's on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And you know, but I think the spirit of the thing is play with those four people too. But you know, recruitment works hard. Like, I don't know. I have friends who don't play Heroes of the Storm. They'll never play Heroes of the Storm. And it's not anything against them or against Heroes. It's just not their kind of game. Like, you know, the most I'm going to do is say, hey, do you want to play Heroes of the Storm with me? They're going to say no. And I might say, well, here's all the reasons it's good. And they're still going to say no because they like to play, I don't know, games like Assassin's Creed or something.
Yeah.
It's just not their cup of tea. It's not going to happen. And that's it. I'm done. So, you know, we're very fortunate maybe that we have a little bit more options. But I actually think it's kind of nice if you are in that sort of spot where you can't get anyone else, that you can actually still get this sweet mount. Because if they did something like, say, refer four people, get them to level 10, and also they have to make a purchase on the store, like then you'd effectively be spending a ton of money on this. Like they could have easily said, hey, let's put a paywall behind this to prevent abuse. One transaction, even if it's like a couple bucks.
Yeah.
That would be way worse. I think they decisively opened this up for people to smurf for that very reason, so that it didn't feel punishing if someone didn't have it, that they could get this sweet mount. Because let me tell you, this is by far, like, all the mounts are really great. This is probably, to date, the best mount in the game. Mm. And to me it is, because it fits thematically with the StarCraft characters. Like, all the mounts look really goofy on StarCraft characters. You got, like, the medic on a horse. Like, looks, it's like that poor freaking horse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, got half a ton of metal on top of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it makes the Warcraft characters. I was riding around in it with Lili, and yeah, she looks great in the vulture mount.
Yeah.
It's the first, like, mount that isn't, like, a floaty thing or an animal. you know, and even, like, the Cyberwolf is still an animal. The Cyberwolf looks great. I actually like it. But this is the first, like, yeah, engines and cars, you know, like, it's... It's really cool. So I think they decisively said, all right, let's not put a paywall behind this.
Yeah.
So it kind of stinks, but I think it was kind of, because it's so late, it was kind of a no-win situation as well as to what they could do to make this like a palatable refer-a-friend program.
I think I have the perfect solution for it. First of all, I want to say a floaty thing or an animal is usually my dinner choice for any given night. But what I was going to say regarding that is this. If they would have just sprung it on us and I didn't know about that vulture ahead of time, I think this all wouldn't have been as big of a problem. I mean, I would have been on the show going, I can't believe I don't have it yet or whatever. I would have still, you know, maybe complained, but not like I feel about it now. I think if they would have never shown that to me before and had all those videos with everybody riding around on vultures and all excited about the next wave of skins and mounts and stuff, I think I probably would have had a different attitude about it. And I, you know, 2020, blah, 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 you know, can't go back, can't fix it. And I'm sure at some point they went, you guys know this stable of mounts we have, maybe the most attractive ones, this vulture. Yeah, maybe we should do that to the recruit a friend program we're working on. What do you think, Bill? Sounds good to me. Who's ordering pizza? Right. I know how it went over there. I know what the meetings they had and I get it, but I still kind of wish I didn't know about the vulture before the program. I would probably just be a little more positive about it.
You know what?
That seems
dumb. As soon as you get that vulture mount, you're going to be on the show saying, like, man, that vulture mount, so good.
It's so fun.
So good. So, all right, core listeners, let's help Scott get that vulture mount.
Well, I forgot that I was going to say the names out loud of the people that are sort of almost there. By the end of the show, I'll know their names, and this will put a little fire under their butts, and they can go get it done. And then we'll test John's theory that I'll be happy once I get it. But will a vulture mount really bring a man happiness?
I think for a little bit.
For a fleeting moment.
Yeah. I think once you see your sweet Wintervale Jaina sitting on a vulture mount.
Yeah, not even side saddle. She straddles that business.
Oh, yeah. She's ready to go on that. She looks awesome. Badass on that thing. That's great.
All right. Well, moving on. Let's do talk about an important addition to the game, that being Lunara. Or as I keep calling her, Lunaria.
The hunt is on.
I've been doing it. Yeah, she says the hunt is on. That's what
I've
heard.
Core is your number one stop for information about Lunara and Lunaria.
And Lunaria. She's married to an org. That's short for ogre. Anyway, she's in, and we've all played her. I purchased her pretty much immediately because it occurred to me that, oh, this extended sale is still going on. This new character is also half off. Normally 10 bucks when you buy them cash their first week, 15K in gold. And in this case, it was still 15K in gold or $5, $4.99, because everything was 50% off. So I grabbed her immediately, sort of sight unseen, because duh, why wouldn't you? And she's pretty awesome. However, I don't think any of us have played her the way that Bo's played her. So Bo, lay out Lunara in a way that people can understand either why she's great, why she's bad, or where you're at. What do you think now that you've had some time with her?
All right, so the first thing that makes her great, and this isn't mechanics-wise, it's just she's in the Brightwing family of heroes, where most of the heroes, people know them. So, you know, when they tell you Jaina's coming, or Sylvanas, or the Medic, or even the Lost Vikings, people are like, yeah, we know who that is, it's exciting, bring us that interpretation of this known character. Everyone, you know, Lunara gets announced, and everyone's kind of like, who? you know, like, who is she? And that's part of what makes her great, is that she is... while she existed, I think, before as the first daughter of Cenarius, you know, no one I think a lot of people had to Google who she was when this announcement got made. You know, like,
I mean, she has like, some. I mean, she has some history. She's out there. She just is not a notable frontline character at all.
When you sit down for sushi with your friends and you want to talk about, you know, Blizzard Entertainment products, you're not saying like, "Man, that Lunara and the latest X-Pack, so good." Like that conversation hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. Where people might be like, "I love Chan or I love Illidan," or, you know, about almost any other character except Brightwing, because Brightwing's also a made up character here. Mm-hmm. So that makes her kind of awesome and more of a unique creation, where she has the strongest identity out of all the products here in Heroes, or the potential for it going forward. So that's reason one. Number two is that she's an assassin, and it's been a while since we've had an assassin, maybe since Kael'thas.
Yep.
And so that is just that's my favorite kind of role. Glad we're getting an assassin in the game.
Wait a minute. Is that true? Hold on. That is true. We haven't had one since. Well, you can't count Gaul, right? He's not. You can't count him.
I guess technically he's classified an assassin, but, you know, it's.
That's a long ass time ago. Kael'thas has been out forever. That seems crazy to me that we haven't had one that long, but I guess so.
Yeah, it's been a while. So also exciting. Where to start?
Wait, what about Butcher? Are you saying ranged?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me qualify that by ranged assassin. Butcher is actually an assassin. You're right. I made a mistake.
He's also a big stink bag full of shit. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Let's discount him for that reason.
All right. So there were two other assassins in Kael'thas, but still, to me, let me rephrase and say he's the most exciting assassin to be released since Kael'thas, in my opinion. Mm. And where do we start with her? I've played her all the way to level, I'm almost level 11 with her. Mm-hmm. I'm about 200 shy of getting her master skin, which I'm totally getting without question. She presents, her abilities are very reminiscent, or even might say inspired by Callista from League of Legends, one of my favorite League of Legends champs. So I'm also carrying this additional baggage of, ooh, yes, I want these mechanics in the game. The quick rundown is she doesn't mount, she hops, which is an equivalent of a 20% speed boost. But depending on where you hop, that's not always necessarily true. She's great at jumping out of the way of abilities and chasing people down. Oh my God, she can chase everyone down.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because her 20% speed boost is somewhere nestled between a mount speed and just a walk speed for most characters.
If you full hop with her, then it's 20. It works out to be half a mount speed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's a huge difference to have that permanent increase when you're chasing people down in conjunction with one of her ultimates, which also lets you flip onto the other side of someone. Because one of the toughest things when you're chasing someone is you're walking at the same speed. You might slow them for a few seconds, but they might slow you. The jump just puts that plan, like, wrecks it. Like, if you jump to into the direction of where they're running, then you cut them off, then they're really hosed. She's super fragile, so she dies to everything, most notably Novas in quick match. I don't know, what do you guys want to know? Like, there's so much to talk about. What should I begin mechanically?
Well, let's talk about her poison for a second, because I can tell you, having played with her a little bit, I've probably only had maybe two games with her where I played as her. So I'm lousy with rotation. I really don't know where I'm at with talents or any of that stuff, but you've played enough to be able to tell us, like, her. So what she does is she applies this three stack of poison, and she can do it to each character, and it wears off over time, or each stack does. But every time she hits, it basically poisons and stays and continues to hurt you for a while. It's akin to something like, what's the talent a bunch of people always take? Envenom. Sort of like that, but constantly. She's constantly envenoming everybody from the get-go. And I feel like someone who goes up against Lunara in a match, like, I am getting myself destroyed by her constantly, because even in early game I'm ticking down with all this stuff, even as a tank, with these weird, you know, with these weird stackable poisons. What is the mechanics of that, are what, and why is that? Am I right to feel like that's just dominating right now?
Well, I don't know. I think there's some mixed reactions about her. I took her into Hero League a few times and people were not a fan of the choice. Her win rate's rather low. So she's, I think it's, you know, like all new heroes, she's difficult to contend with in quick matches for the first few days, because people don't know how to effectively play against her.
Yeah.
Or maybe with her in some cases. But the poison itself, it does damage, but it's not that It's not super effective. Like, when you think of an assassin, you mainly think of, like, getting someone to zero as quick as possible. Like, you know, and sometimes they're slower, but they do more damage per second. And sometimes they're just bursty. But the idea being that, like, you're trying to get that character, you're trying to do enough damage to wipe somebody out as quick as possible. And the poison really doesn't do that. It applies a dot, and all of your basic attacks and basic abilities, and your heroic abilities, actually, extend the dot by 3 seconds. Mm. So, you know, if you hit with a basic attack, boom, 3 seconds. Then you press W, boom, now it's 6 seconds. The damage doesn't increase. It's just on for a longer period of time. This is not efficient if your job is to kill people quickly. Seconds are eternities in fights. And so this stuff is not part of your base toolkit for, like, wow, I really need to kill somebody. Better make sure to get that poison on people. It's great for poking when you're just in that stage where you're just trying to whittle people down as part of laning or as part of that dance you do before a team fight starts. But, you know, there are plenty of times where people get away. They hit the fountain, they get back to the fountain in time, they get that clutch heal. It's actually really sucky. that being said, you can spread your dot around to everybody. So if you're managing your dots effectively, you're not focusing on one target, you're trying to get the poison on as many different characters as possible. And so ideally, the entire enemy team is experiencing this slow death.
Yeah, and you're encouraged, and even their video showed, their overview video showed this a lot, but you're encouraged to be switching up targets a lot, not just sort of single targeting a character down.
Which is counterintuitive to how team fights go. So that being said, since your poison is effective at doing damage over time, but not effective for elimination, all you're really left with to do major damage are your ultimates and basic attacks for the most part. And the Q. So the Q deals damage, a moderate amount of damage in an area. So it's all right. Its main function, again, is to apply the dot, because there are talents that allow you to get benefit from people being dotted up, like being revealed on the map, for example. Mm-hmm. So the Q is good for that. But your bread and butter damage is your basic attacks. So like Vala and Raynor, her identity is very much ranged auto attack champion.
Right.
Except that, you know, she doesn't have things like Seasons Marksman, and she has very few damage and attack speed buffs, although she does have them, sort of making it feel like you kind of have to build her that way. But that's your bread and butter. So you're not trying to be like, let me poison the enemy team to death. That stuff is all incidental value, part of your job, but not the way that you're really going to secure kills. You're going to secure kills by basic attacks, for the most part. Because the W doesn't actually deal any damage. So a very important ability on her is Crippling Spores, which is any enemies affected by Nature's Toxin will have its duration increased again by 3 seconds. So it applies the Nature's Toxin proc. And it slows them for 40 seconds. Now you can slow a whole team down to 40% for 3 seconds. Mm. And so that's your way of saying, okay, I'm slowing you down in order to chase you down or to get away from you. Mm. It decays over it, so it's not 40% for the entire duration, but it's like this tug. It's like this little tug you get. Mm-hmm. And that's a good window with which to get teammates to come in and help you close out a kill or yourself.
Is that your Q?
That's the W. Q puts flowers on the ground and, you know, just does a bit of area of effect
damage. I have a question about that. So that also applies the
Nature's Toxin.
Nature's Toxin, right? So is there, have you come to a happy place with rotation Q, W, and E as to what order or where to focus, or even through your talent tree, where are you focusing?
So the difficulty is some of the talents do affect how you play your rotation. So it's hard to say there's one right answer. But generally speaking, I'm auto attacking. I'm not really, like, I use the Q if I need to apply it to a Nature's Toxin to someone out of range if I need to slow them as fast as possible. But generally speaking, I'm waiting on the Q for a key moment, because there are a few abilities that will increase your attack damage or make you hit multiple targets with your auto attack based on the Q. So I'm usually looking for a spot where I want to do 3 auto attacks. Then I hit the Q and then do the 3 auto attacks. It's very not intuitive up front, where, like, abilities like Raynor seem to be, you know, I shoot the penetrating round to push them away. I do W to increase my attack speed. The basic abilities here rely heavily on the types of talents you pick. So unfortunately, it's not an easy answer. Just to say there is one rotation and this is how you do it. The crippling spores, again, the timing on that's very important. You don't just apply it and then press W. You need to save that for a time when that slow is going to matter, because all it does is slow, and it's a very brief window with which it slows. So it's when you're chasing or trying to run away, so for peeling. But generally speaking, her bread and butter is getting those auto attacks in and dodging the attacks of the enemy with her passive mount ability.
Well, let's at least make sure we touch on this one part of the subject, and I think it's an important one, that she is made out of wet toilet paper. She will die if you breathe on her.
Right. So a key thing with her is she's a positioning maven. Again, you can't get caught at all. Like, if you get caught with one stun and you're outnumbered 1v1, you're going to die. That being said, you do have, if you take the Leaping Strike ultimate, that's a great way to get out. I played a game today where I was in the Garden Terror. I died, the Garden Terror died, and I was in the middle of five of the enemy team. And they didn't stun me quick enough, so I pressed R and jumped out of there and pressed R again on a enemy minion and was able to get away. So she has toolkits for getting away, but just know that that's something you're going to have to be doing. So if you're not good at that kind of stuff, you're going to have a real hard time, because she dies real quick.
Yeah,
John. She gets caught unawares very easily by Nova and Zeratul, who can just wipe her out with a rotation.
Ooh, a whole nother conversation we could have about those two chuckleheads lately.
Yeah.
John, your experience with Lunara so far jive with what he said? How much have you played with her?
I have not had a lot of experience with Lunara. I've played about one game, and it was against bots with her. But I think I've played enough to know that I can appreciate what she'll bring to the table. I don't know if she's going to be a playstyle that I really like. I tend to be, more burst damage, or at least focused sustained damage. Mm-hmm. And with her having to be a hero that's, constantly switching targets and trying to apply poison across the board, it's just not a playstyle I particularly like. And I don't much care for her movement. It actually, for a character that's fast, it actually feels slow. So it kind of...
Is it because you can't mount up, or why do you think that feeling? Why do you feel that way?
I think it might be a problem with the animation. They've made the animation so big and boundy that for the size of the character and the amount of movement she's doing, she doesn't feel like she's getting very far. And so I'm constantly feeling like I'm slower than everybody else, even when they're on foot, even though I'm then passing them and having to remind myself, oh no, I am actually going faster than these people. But I definitely like her. I definitely think she has her place. I think she's going to be very strong in team comps that have really good either burst or the ability to get in there, because her ability to put a poison on everyone really messes with the dynamic. Mm-hmm. Because natural reaction to seeing the poison bar above your health bar and seeing that whittled down is, I need to get out of here. I'm being targeted. I have to go.
Yeah.
If you're a healer, you see that and you immediately think, okay, I need to heal that. But when it's being applied to your whole team, it kind of becomes this, okay, I don't know what to do because everybody is dying right now around me.
Yeah.
Who do I prioritize? What do I do? So it makes her very disruptive. And I think that disruption allows for a lot of people to very easily get in and, maybe focus down the Morales or the Sergeant Hammer that you want to kill while everybody's kind of at this weird, we don't know if we should get in or stay out,
Right.
So I think she's going to be fun to have on the team with people who, know her well. Fighting against her, it is definitely my experience that she is an easy target of interest. In fact, I will sometimes prioritize her over typical targets that we make high priority. So if I go into a group and I see a Hammer and a Morales and a Lunara, I don't feel bad attacking the Lunara because I know we can burn through her so quick, even with Morales on her, that it frees us up one whole hero very quickly to allow us to then work on the other two.
Yeah, and you can easily switch from you could see a scenario where because she's an easy target or you know, she's just so thin you can burn her immediately, you've got a Morales who's trying to quickly readjust to whatever the crap just happened, and you can oftentimes give Hammer some hell while Morales is trying to figure out who to heal now.
Yeah.
Like there's some interesting strategy going on there. But what you said earlier when you got into Hero League, people were not happy. This happens every time as a new character, though, right?
Well, I think so I haven't played too much with her, but I'm still going to insist on playing her in Hero League, I think, a bit. But I did lose, I think, 4 matches picking her. But, you know, these are the growing pains with discovering a new hero. I think in Quick Match, I've performed really well with her. So the thing to do is to increase the difficulty of the opponents. That's how you sort of learn and adapt. So I'm still sort of out. I think that coordinated teams can figure out how to isolate her and burn her down quickly. She's an easy target, but I don't know. That's true of Vala and that's true of Kael'thas. I think I don't have a fully formed opinion yet over just how much that is like, you know, people having bad experiences with new Lunara players, because everyone's a new Lunara player this week, mm-hmm. versus her actual viability. So it's a bit early to say, but I feel positive. I will level one criticism at her, which is it feels like, so she doesn't move like anyone else in the game. And the way the standard auto attacks work is that you auto attack, and if you move, it cancels auto attacking. I feel like when you input an attack command, and then you input a move command, it shouldn't cancel the auto attack, at least the last one clicked, because a horse lady who's used to bounding in the woods can clearly throw a spear while she moves around.
Yeah.
And it feels really sort of, first of all, off flavor. And secondly, there are a lot of times where I'm chasing down and I miss an auto attack because I input a move command a little too fast. And that's the way you're supposed to play her. You're supposed to hop, auto, hop, auto, hop, auto. So it's very risky doing that kind of stuff when you're in the heat of battle and have that done. Now, I'm able to do it really effectively versus bosses because I feel less pressure. So I hop, I auto, I visually make sure the auto goes off before I input the next move command. In the middle of a fight, that's harder. And I think she should be fixed. If there's one fix I want to see for her, is to make it so that auto attack doesn't get canceled. Because I just don't think it fits with how she plays as an exception to her kit. And I say that with the experience of playing a character like that in League of Legends, which is in that game, you shoot the auto attack, then you input a move command, which instigates a hop. That auto attack doesn't get canceled. That's the trade-off for this high skill cap character, is to say, we know auto attacking with her, it's not a Rainer stand in place, kind of move around a little bit, stutter step. Her steps do not stutter. They hop. So they need to fix it because it's not working this way. And I think a lot of people, I think I'm seeing comments on Reddit and stuff like that to that effect with respect to her. So
yeah.
I also noticed that and struggled with that a lot. As somebody who likes to move a lot between my attacks, I spent a lot of time feeling like I feel like I'm not attacking as often as I should, and I wasn't, because I was spending more time moving than I was attacking.
Well, and you kind of said it, but the stutter stepping's very weird with her. It doesn't feel.
They should just let her throw the spear while she bounds. That's what horse people do, like centaurs and stuff.
All the horse people, listen. All the horse people, yeah. All the horse people I know, that's how they do it.
That's what they do.
Like they're horse people, not centaurs.
Another little thing too, I want to comment about her. I mean, I could probably just go the whole show. We could just talk about her, but we'll try and cut it off somewhere. But her ultimates, both of them, as far as I can tell, are equally viable in different situations. Which is not always the case for a lot of characters. I find this Thornwood Vine, which shoots out a bunch of Rudy stuff, Rudy graphics in a line, really great if you're against that Nova Zeratul comp or a comp that likes to group up and you want to get that poison applied really efficiently on everybody. Everything it hits gets a stack of Nature's Toxin, but it's exceptionally good for revealing Cloak. You have very few tools. You have no tools for revealing Cloak except Q, and that Q area of effect is very small. Thornwood Vine is a great way to reveal Novas and get that first stack on, W them, and have your team blow her up because your teammates didn't see her, but you did. And so, you know, if you want to be that person on your team, get the Thornwood Vine.
Plus, those aren't they both really minimal cooldown times? Like, they seem like they're real
quick. Yeah, Thornwood Vine gets 3 charges. Sleeping Strike gets 2. Thornwood Vine has a 15-second cooldown. Leaping Strike has a 20-second cooldown. Let's wait 2 minutes for an ultimate type deal going on with her. So that's also, it's basically like a fourth ability. I think that kind of leverages the fact that her Wisp, which is her E, doesn't do any damage. It's very useful, but she has one less ability than most, assassins, right? She has one less button she can push to do damagey stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the way her ultimates are designed do make up for that. Also, I've seen a lot of Lunaras, when I'm not playing her, not use the Wisp very effectively. That thing should be on cooldown all the time, and you should always have a plan. Like, if you're getting Garden Terror, put it out to give you vision. If you're doing boss, let it give you vision. If you're in lane, let it give you vision. This is how you prevent yourself from dying, is, you know, getting a warning sign ahead of time. And even if they have stealthers, there's a chance you'll catch their shimmer. Put that Wisp out all the time in places that are relevant to what you're doing, where you can anticipate ganks coming from. Ultimates are really good. I'm not decided on which one is the better one.
I think the one where she rolls the vines out is super cool. The thorn thing, that looks really rad. It seems brutal. I like that about it. And the other one just is a hoot. Like, you're just,
it's dive. So fun looking like a ninja and getting killed.
Yeah.
Like,
as a horse lady, mind you, which is also funny. But yeah. John, I may have just figured out what it is you're not struggling with, but the things you may not like about her playstyle. It's the same reason you don't like Vikings and you don't like Abathur so much. It's this. There's too much micro going on. Like, that Wisp thing alone is like this weird third thing you got to be thinking about all the time. I mean, I know you. It doesn't sound that different than, say, I don't know, what's her name with her creep and everything. But to me, it seems like a lot more work to just manage that Wisp that dies with a single hit, doesn't live very long as it is. I know you can boost it and do some other stuff to it and have it split and become a new one and all that other stuff with your traits. But that seems like a lot of micromanagement to me.
Yeah, if you look at the heroes that I gravitate towards, most of them are heroes that are in your face, doing something, leading the charge, or at the very least being very aggressive and upfront. And, you know, like we said, Lunara is super weak if she gets focused on. And so that definitely does not play to my strong suit. I typically play warriors and bruisers for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's because I know my limitations as a human being, and I do not have the restraint to not go stand on top of all of the mess and try and fight there. So I think that's where I kind of struggle with her.
Well, she's out. She's available. She's still $5, I think. Sale's still on, right?
Yeah, that was also a theory I had, because we were like, wow, new hero, and she's on sale for $5, probably because no one knows who she is. So this is a great gateway into a great hero.
Yeah.
I think she's the best hero to be released in the game so far. Whoa. That's my personal opinion. She's my absolute favorite thing about Heroes of the Storm.
That is some high praise.
Yep.
I didn't expect that from you. I don't know why I didn't expect that. I know you've been playing her a ton, but I didn't think you were going to say best hero in the game and your favorite thing in the game so far. That's intense.
Yeah, she's a hit, and I was worried, you know, hearing about it. I'm like, oh, I hope they do it right, and glad to say that for the most part, she's almost there, and she's definitely my favorite thing. Like, I love playing Lunara.
Wow. All right. Yeah. You, that's interesting. We knew you'd like the horse ladies. You brought this up before, how excited you were when she was being announced. I got a deal in Tijuana for you. Just talk to me after the show. Okay. Anyway. We on the whole, though, thumbs up. Lunara is a nice addition to the game, and a neat new play style that, at the very least, whether it matches a player's desire to play her or not, it's nice to see it in the mix and not just yet another, you know, ranged or melee assassin that does essentially the same thing. Let's talk about patch 15.3. That's the thing. Boy, they really are high up in the numbers. I wonder how they decide this. 15.3 that's a big number for a game. It's only been out a year. Whereas, like, you know, Diablo 3 is on patch 2.4.
Yeah.
I don't know how they decide, but I guess you just decide how incremental you want to be. And then I guess you lock in and you go for it. Probably each team sort of decides. But what we're getting out of this thing, we'll start at the top. Winter's Veil is here. You get some free stim packs if you play a certain amount of games. Remind me, one of them is 5 games and you get one.
15 and 30, or is it 50?
15 gets you 4-day stim pack. 50 gets you the extra 10 days for a full 2 weeks.
And are the, how do you, I mean, they, I feel like we're playing anyway, right. So it doesn't, it's,
yeah,
no
so
downside.
I poo-pooed this a little bit because I'm like, man, you're going to want those in advance. But 15 games is pretty attainable. And then you've got the 4 days of stim pack. So you're like, well, might as well take advantage of the stim packing. And then before you know it, you're at 50. Mind you, I have played a lot of Heroes this week. Like, this has been one of the most busiest Heroes weeks for me because of Lunara. So I'm actually kind of grateful for this. I was a little bit ho-hum last week on the stim packs, but I've really been liking it. I like the gift. Well, I played a lot this week. I'm leveraging it quite a bit.
Well, good. I have I had to leave town, so I didn't have time to get all 15 done, but I'm looking forward to get that. John, I assume you're well over that amount.
Yeah, and I'm really worried about getting some extra stim pack days.
Oh, that's my question. These don't stack, so your year-long thing, this makes no difference to you, does it?
I don't know. Do they not stack?
No,
did they say
yeah,
that?
It should. If you have 360 days and you get 4 days, then you have 364.
If you highlight the
salt shaker up top where you have when you have a stim pack active, it'll tell you the time remaining.
Okay.
It still just says a year for me.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, they get, apparently once you reach a certain point, they just get real vague about the terminology.
Because the reason I wondered about that is I wasn't thinking stacking in terms of adding the days on, although that now sounds like we're not sure, but I was more thinking, do you for these 4 days or 5 days or whatever get additional XP on top of what you're already getting from your other stim pack? You know,
they don't stack.
Okay.
The stim packs don't stack that way.
Okay.
It's always an extension as far as from when I've bought them, it extends it.
Yeah.
I assume that the gift stim packs work the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if they do an event where they're giving more experience away, like they did, you know, when they did the recruit a friend and all of that, that did stack.
Okay.
But stim packs, doesn't matter how you got them, they're linear.
Okay, that makes sense. So you'll have to keep reporting back on whether or not you got any bonus days or not on your thing. Does it tell me how many?
I will let you know next year.
Does it say 1 year, or does it break it down and say how many days you have?
Last time I checked, it just said 1 year. You have a year, which is weird because it doesn't even give you... I don't know. Maybe I already had a stim pack active when I bought it, so maybe it is actually over a year still right now.
Yeah, because when you start, it's only 360. You're 5 days less than that. Or maybe you're 5 days kicked in, and it still says a year because you're at 365.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird. I think it should tell you the amount of days, even if it's an unwieldy number. Because if you keep adding on to it, then you need to know confirm your purchases and all that.
Yeah, I need to know when I hit 5 years.
Right. It's when you pay off a car.
Yeah.
Festive Treasure Goblin also out with this event. And that's maybe my favorite thing about it, about the whole Winter Veil thing. I mean, the stim packs are nice and all that. But I like the Treasure Goblin, or the idea that with certain events, there'll be a mount available to everyone that will be themed for the reason they're doing the event. In this case, Christmas. And I think it's awesome. That's maybe my favorite thing.
We all like to mount on the same thing from time to time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you always have that person that's like, I don't have it. Yeah. Now we can all be festive on Treasure Goblins together.
Unless you're playing that new hero that can't mount.
Yeah.
So I haven't used it once.
Yeah. Do you? I have a question about that. Some characters, they can't mount, but there are others who don't mount by default, but you can make them mount. Like, who am I trying to think of? Asmodan.
Asmodan.
Yeah, Asmodan's a good example. You can ride around on the carpet, right?
Like Zagara. Yeah, they can only ride on floaty things. That seems to be the rule.
Okay.
If it's a floaty, you can ride on it, like the Karstone card and the magic carpet and the void ray.
Yeah.
But if it's a an animal, then no.
Okay.
What if the treasure goblin rode you?
Then you're talking about
Cho'Gall.
A way better game than we currently have available to us now. Yeah, that is a kind of a Cho'Gall move.
Soviet Heroes of the Storm. Yeah. Festive Treasure Goblin rides you.
Would I have to drop coins from my pocket as I ran? Would it be
probably.
Me? Okay. Yeah. Would I open a portal and leave too soon?
Yep.
Let's see what else. The shop items, the new big fat stitches.
Seen a
thing.
Lot of the Sylvanas Sugar Plum Skin.
Oh, yeah. People like that.
People really dig that one.
They like the dark one, the one that looks like a Tim Burton movie, the black one. People
it like looks
that.
Good. It's pretty inspired. I dig it.
Yeah, it's cool. Her wings freak me out, though. I don't like twitchy wings. They freak me out. It's just a problem I have in general. It's not just this game, but like any game where people twitch, I don't like that. So the Nazebo kind of freaks me out. needs to stop twitching. Needs to calm down. Needs to take a take a sleeping pill or something. All right, what else? The new chat system. Oh, yeah, this is a nice change. I don't know why I didn't read about these before the patch, but I really like what they've done. It seems like it's more, it gives you more options without feeling more complicated and lets you keep track of whispers that are currently active with various people. Just seems just a, like a smarter update. So good on them for that.
Everything's good there. This is the kind of thing that makes you want a little more too, right? Yeah. Like, oh, this is so good. Now, can we get moderators for the chat? Can we work out events? Because our chats, like I'm part of the Frog Pants chat, and I'm kind of like, oh, it'd be fun to run some events in here or do something more.
Yep.
So I'm hoping there's more on the way, but good first step. I really love
it. It does feel like they're fleshing that out, and that's good. Yeah. Custom games can now have clickable links created then that direct them to or direct you to the game from typing bracket lobby bracket in any channel. So does that mean I'm being invited to your game via that link? I've not actually used this yet, so I don't know.
It means you can click it and it'll drop you then in the custom lobby.
Okay, so this is just for custom lanes or custom lanes, custom games. I don't know why I said lanes.
Yeah, it's just for custom games, but it's kind of cool because if you do run a channel and you want to just say like, let's just get people in the channel in a game, you can post it in the channel and the first 9 other people that join up will just be in the game and you can... Seems kind of convenient rather than be like, all right, what's your battle tag? And send, type in the chat if you want in.
Yeah, this sounds all right.
This is a nice little thing. I like it.
Yeah,
it's going to make our tournaments a lot easier. It's a very small change, but it will make organizing that stuff a little bit easier now with this change than it was before.
Heroes of the Pants 2 coming soon.
That's right.
That's all I'm going to say because we don't got anything else planned. But we're going to do it. loading screens, portrait borders on loading screens now reflect the game's mode selected. Parties grouping are noted with little indicators, usually colored and by group. So if you've got 3 of you, a little yellow group, and you got 2 with the purple, that means you've got a 3-stack and a 2-stack. If everyone's the same color, you're up against a 5-man team that are likely communicating via voice and are going to either dominate you or they suck. But I like it. It's a little piece of metadata that I wasn't getting before, and I try not to let it color what I think the outcome of the matches will be, because we've learned, you know, as a 5-stack one night, we were playing a 5-stack and we had 2 people together on the other team and then everyone else was an individual. And unless the screen was bugged, that's what we were presented with. And we went in there maybe a little overconfident and we got beat by those bastards.
Yeah.
So, I will say that I think this is one of the best changes they've ever done to the game. On one hand, and then kind of okay on the other. So removing the portrait borders, I think is brilliant. I think this is something that is super smart because, Bo, how many times have we gotten into a game and it's like we're with our 5-man and all of a sudden we see the dude who's rank 1 Hero League? And you just hear that morale in everybody's voice go, well, that's it, because we're going to get beat today. Thanks, MMR.
Yeah.
And everybody's real down about it because they're just like, you know, doom and gloom. Now you don't know. If you're in quick match, you don't know what their Hero League rank is. It's no longer important. You also can't hide it from people to try and, you know, get some strategy that way. It's really nice in that regard. On the counter side of that, if you are solo queuing and you get grouped with a bunch of solo queuers, and then you realize you have been put up against a team that is a group of 5 people all together and probably on comms together, that can have that same deflating impact. So I like that that's there, I think, ultimately, but it has kind of exchanged one thing that can deflate you for another.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, but there's some good news with respect to that, actually. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Ooh, I like good news.
Yeah. Put an earmark on that. We're going to get there in a bit.
Can I ask one more question? I spaced it during our Lunara conversation or our Lunaria conversation. There's no intro video for her. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't think I saw one.
Yeah, I looked all over for it and was jazzed about it, but nothing. So
well, again, it's Lunara. They're like, well, no one. What story do we even tell here? I'm from the forest.
Yeah, I'm a nature nerd, whatever.
Nature. My name is Lunara or Lunaria, and I will defend the forest and the trees.
Lunara or Lunaria, you choose.
I feel guilty because we said that we didn't like those anymore, and now they're gone, and now I feel like we did it. Even though I know we didn't.
Yeah.
It's not our fault.
It's never our fault. I take no blame for anything anyway, so don't worry about it.
But now it's gone and I miss it.
New matchmaking rule. Teams that don't have a warrior now will not be matched with another team who has a warrior. I think we saw that in effect a couple of times. And that seemed okay to me to do that. I don't know. Is it a no matter what rule, or is it a we try to do that, but in the end, if the matchmaking takes too long, we'll just stick you with a warrior?
I think no, because I think the way they're doing with the new matchmaking that's in place, which we're going to get into details soon, that it's, you know, I don't think this should never happen. I think if it does happen, it's a bug. I think if it's a rule, then the rule should be always followed by the matchmaker. So if
there's a way around it, but yes, it should be 100% of the time.
Yeah. What's the way around it? What's going on with that?
If you queue with a random character. There's a chance you would get a warrior and the other team would not.
That makes sense.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But for the most part, I think I agree with this rule. I think when the other team has a front line and you don't, that's it's a bad time. You know, I think the warriors do a lot to zone out the other team and help the back line or help the assassins or whatever get in and do damage and provide a lot of distraction and stun. So I like that this is a first rule that they're sort of experimenting with. Now, keep in mind, they announced this rule with the patch before they announced the same day, but later that day, the big matchmaking changes that came up. Mm-hmm. But this was a key feature in the 15.3 overview. So it's a good first step. I think that they're going to do more with this kind of thing in the future too.
Now, Bo, how do you feel about the idea that Sonya or Rexxar, two characters you've said in the past are more bruisers than warriors, if they're the ones being chosen, shouldn't they be allowed to be in since they're not true warriors? I'm playing to your previous sarcasm on the topic, but what do you think about that? Does it matter?
I still think it's an issue, but at the same time, they still do provide that front line for ranged characters, even if they're less than ideal.
And better to have a Sonya than no warrior at all.
Yeah.
Part of the deal with quick match is that like some trade-offs got to be made for, I want to play the hero I want, and I don't want to have to participate in a team draft where I have to pick things to help the team. You know, there's a cost to having that privilege, which is, you know, matchmaking rules have to settle somewhere. Right. So I think it's less than ideal. I still think if you're making ideal team comps, you don't want Sonya or even Artanis as your main tank. But that, you know, Blizzard or, you know, Heroes, the dev team is still not currently defining those differently. So I think it's a first step, and who knows, we might see more refinement as it goes on.
And they also have the same rule in effect for supports. And that also comes with the same weakness for supports, where one team might get Morales, the other team might get Tassadar. So it's kind of been a gamble, and I think ultimately it just comes down to, you know, better to have it than to not have it, but it's not ever going to be a perfect solution.
True that. All right, what else is happening? Let's talk about Nexicon mount. It's the Cloud9 deal, right?
Yeah. So I guess for winning the world championship, Cloud9 gets a hexagon-shaped floaty thing for everyone to buy. I'm not clear if they're getting a cut because their logo's on it. That seems like probably there'd be some... I don't know if they waive their rights to have their logo used. Or
a cut of the gold we spend. Yeah. They get a... Here's your doubloons, Cloud9. Oh, man. How about your business?
I made a mistake there. Yeah, it's not a real money purchase.
Here's what I would say about that. I think that that's fine, whatever. I have zero desire to purchase it because it would be, it's weird to me. It'd be like running around with a, you know, I like the Green Bay Packers, but I don't want to wear their shirt every day. I just feel like it's weird to put in the game. However, this is what they need to do. We talked about this briefly on Skype or something. while we were playing last week, but I would love it if we could, if they had a standard and said, all right, on, via this web tool or whatever, or through the game client, upload so-and-so by so many pixels wide and tall of the logo you want to have. Now, I know there's all kinds of issues of like, well, I'm going to put a penis in there or whatever. But in a perfect world, in a vacuum where nobody's making penises, like a core logo or something where all of us could ride that thing when we're playing, you know, playing together, seems like the coolest idea. Just have a blank DeBloom style hexagon, whatever, and anybody can upload whatever they want. JPEG, boom, bam, boom, you're in. I think that would be the coolest thing. Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
That's a super cool idea.
But they're not going
to
do it.
Tournaments, you could have everybody in the tournament have a cool logo.
Yeah, exactly. Logo mount. Yeah, which is really cool. Right now, guess who has a cool logo mount? Cloud9. That's it. Nobody else. So I don't see how that's an advantage for the rest of us. I don't see why a team would be like, yeah, we really like those guys. We're all going to be Cloud9 fans. That's just weird to me.
So, it sets an expectation you can't live up to.
Yeah, and it's not their fault. Congrats to them. They're kicking A. I think those guys are great, but I don't want to wear their t-shirt every day. So let me have my own t-shirt. Let me have a thing that says who I am. But I know that they would feel they wouldn't let us do it because they got to curate that stuff. They can't have a bunch of penises. That's just the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
You know, because that's what'll happen. People will make a bunch of dicks.
Sure. I agree that, you know, they'd have to be ready for content creation. That's a whole other system and bag of worms. I don't think they're anywhere near that kind of system,
yeah,
and supporting staff for it. So,
or a nipple, or you could take a close up picture of your hairy nipple and put it on top of your hexagon and float around on that thing because it's just an image. Like these, yeah. I'm starting to think of all the reasons they'll never do.
Or just any JPEG. Someone takes uses a picture from their mom in Christmas or something. Like it's just not gonna fit in the game. Like it's gonna look ugly.
Yeah.
You know, like. Even if it doesn't break any rules, there's an immersion factor to the quality of everything in the game. I think it's okay to have, I guess, the best team have a mount on it, but I actually think it's pretty, you know, we went from talking about the hottest mount in the game, the Vulture, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to the ugliest mount in the game, which is that damn Cloud9 hexagon.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like it's the animation and sound is kind of cool on it. But like it's a hexagon, like it's not. It's basically nothing. It's a floating JPEG.
It is a floating JPEG, and if they're going to let us do floating JPEG, okay, I have the perfect solution. It just hit. It just came to me. Here's the middle ground, so that we don't have a problem.
We get one. Nobody else does.
That's the first answer.
The best mount in the game. Best mount. Core logo mount.
Yeah. Second solution, since that one may not fly, is this. They do like they do with Diablo banners or World of Warcraft tabards. Where you've got a selection of, I don't know, 100 designs. There's stars. There's you know, whatever.
Lens.
And yeah, then your team can say, all right, I want these two top accents and this one middle bit. That's going to be our seal. And now you basically got a team seal that is unique to you, and you color whatever, you know, you have a bunch of color options, so it's unique to you. And so you'd never really find two of the exact same thing, and you could roll in like that. They would at least build a little team unity, a little bit of a kind of, all right, we're all rolling in together kind of thing. Something like that would be okay for me in this game.
That'd be cool.
And the kind of work they do with banners and stuff in Diablo, it's no different than that.
Even do it to where, say, skin option one is just kind of like a blank generic hexagon.
Yeah.
Skin two is the banner that you create. Yeah. And skin three is it'll display whatever your portrait is.
There you go. That's not bad either. Standing on Jaina's face.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean anything rude about that. I like her a lot, but I just, you know, standing on Jaina's face. That might be today's show title.
Jaina on Jaina X.
Standing on Jaina's face with Jaina's feet. What? How is that even possible? What else? We got some nerfs, some buffs. Artanis. Let's talk about Artanis. Basic attack range increased 25%. That seems good. Also, because he was way close on the hitbox before. You had to get right up in your noodle to do anything.
Yeah, you basically had to be inside of him to have him do any damage to you.
Yes, yes. Which makes me both uncomfortable and also agree with you. Phase Prism, which is your E ability, the range and the speed were increased by 15%. Now, I've talked to numerous people, and I think even you, John, may have exclaimed this during a game, but people are telling me that they're not feeling like it feels that different. It may actually be different, but they're not feeling a big change there.
Well, 15% of short and slow is not huge, but it is enough to where all of a sudden I felt like I had to get a little more used to it. All of a sudden, I felt like I was really, really good at landing those, and I noticed I started missing them a bunch more. Yeah. So there's definitely a notable increase that I had to get used to. The other thing that's been nice is people have gotten so used to where that thing could go before that now I've seen a lot of people step outside of what would have been the safe zone before and stop. And I still hook them, and then all of a sudden they panic, like, "Oh, I didn't expect this to happen at all. What just happened?" So it's been good. I think they are good buffs for Artanis. I don't know if it's enough to make Zealot Rush not a mandatory feeling pick.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird for me because I never picked it back when everybody said it was mandatory. I started picking it after these buffs went into place and said, "Oh yeah, that's why everybody thinks this is really great. I see that now."
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it's actually improved that talent, or I would say lessened that talent, but he feels good. And I'm curious to see if we're ever going to see him in a major tournament. That's what I want to see, because I think Artanis is a great hero.
He's a lot of fun, and you are our resident dominate the charts Sinatra player. And so I knew that you would have the answer to all that. Let's talk about matchmaking. Oh my gosh, Bo. Phase one. They detailed a bunch of this, and it's none of it. Let me put it this way. I'm not trying to be negative here, but none of it jumped out at me as anything definitive. A lot of it feels like stuff they want to do. It felt like more of a developer conversation where they're like, "What are you guys planning for the future?" "Well, we're thinking about..." It felt like that.
Yeah, there was a really long blog post. Like, it was a big article. And I pulled out a few quotes just to paraphrase. I think it's the only text that really said anything of detail in the entire pile.
Yeah.
It felt very PR-y, or felt like PR, I guess. Yeah, but I think, and you and I, you know, and John have played a few games this week and have all commented that matchmaking feels better.
A lot better. Yep.
There's something to the changes. So I just want to go over the highlights and then we can discuss real quickly, right?
Sure.
So rather than getting you into a match as soon as possible after a certain time has elapsed, the new system's focus is to give you the most evenly matched games. Amen, right?
Yep.
Can I get an amen?
Yep, amen.
Amen. All
right. Yep.
Or I guess whatever they say in Azeroth. For the light.
For the light. Or Loktar Ogar. There you go.
Loktar Ogar.
Yeah.
So while the new matchmaker will continue to match parties of equal size against one another, we've placed additional emphasis on matching teams of similar skill. This means that you may occasionally encounter party size differences between your team and your opponents, but the match you will receive will be higher quality. That means that if you queue alone and get matched against a party, that party will likely be of lower average skill than your team of solo players, which should help balance out your opponent's communication advantage. And so
can we talk about this one for a minute? Because we have some fun experiences with this.
That's pretty much all of the pertinent information I pulled out of that like 3-page post that detailed any actual system. So yeah, have at it.
So we had one of those matches recently where it was five of us in a pre-made group, and we did kind of stomp the other team. I wouldn't say that it was brutal or anything, but there was no point where we felt like we were on the ropes.
Yeah, it was definitely not that kind of tug of war for sure.
Yeah, like it felt like we had to fight for our win, but we beat them.
Yeah.
And after the match was done, Bo got a whisper from a slightly perturbed gentleman, I'm assuming, who was upset because he felt that we were intentionally queuing as a five-man for the explicit purpose of stomping solo queuers in quick match.
Right.
And very upset about our behavior.
Yeah, that was... That was funny. And Bo,
although, well, in theory, their average MMR was higher than ours.
And you looked at that guy's stats, and he actually has played a considerable number of games. He had a lot of experience under his belt. He had a pretty decent Hero League ranking, if I remember correctly from what you told me. Like, by all accounts, a fairly solid player. Although, I question a lot of this based on this guy's inability to recognize where fault and blame should lie for his own deficiencies. But right. Regardless, he was a little upset.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that, you know, is there a complaint here to Blizzard? Do you think that this is working as intended? Because I've seen a lot of tweets going out to Dustin about, hey, we got teamed up against a five man. This is unfair. This is terrible. Do you think it's the end of the world, or do you think this is a nice balance change?
Well, I look at this text that it says you may occasionally encounter party different sizes. I've played maybe like 300 games this week, something crazy. We're playing a lot.
Good Lord.
It's not occasionally. It's all occasionally, or all the time, I guess. All right. It didn't land. All right.
I liked it.
it was like, there's always a party size difference. It's the exception when the party sizes are even.
Yeah.
So, that's not working as intended. Also, since, you know, a lot of people who are tweeting at Dustin still want, you know, things like, actually just give me a number that tells me my number so I can look at their numbers and figure out why I got matched with these people. Because, yeah, a lot of, like we talked about this last show, a lot of people that play Heroes might follow Dustin on Twitter, but didn't read this post, you know? So my understanding was that I've played a lot of solo queue games against five stacks this week, and I won a lot of them because, you know, I'm like, oh, I know they're not that good. So how can we exploit their weaknesses? Because clearly if they're lower MMR players, I can probably find a hole in their game, you know? And it's often things that we sometimes do when we play five stacks, which is send all five people into one lane. And then when all five people are roaming around a map, then when we get a split push, it's like hard to deal with because you can't be everywhere at once when you're all stacked together. So yes, I think this is a problem for the player base because you can't log into Heroes and make sense of it without going outside of Heroes and finding out the information with some research.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is not ideal.
But if you're playing a lot, well, I mean, we are assuming a lot about that guy that maybe isn't true. Maybe he's just playing and doesn't ever check outside the game, doesn't really know what's happening. Because in his mind, he's thinking, oh, look at us roaming as a five-man, knowing that every team we'll be matched up against won't be. But we don't know that. We don't have any control over that.
Clearly didn't get how this works. If he thinks that we had some method of telling matchmaking, hey, can you only give us people that are solo queuing? We really want to just win tonight.
Yeah, that isn't how it works. So I feel badly that he thinks that, and he's incorrect. My experience, though, has been since this patch that you're waiting longer for matches, and those matches are better. The waiting may seem like a negative, but I've accepted it as a positive because every time I've had one since, and I mean every game since the patch, has felt, even losses have felt less one-sided, or there were less outliers like that. That isn't to say there won't be one occasionally, because there always will be, right? There'll always be something weird. Like the one you talked about where we won pretty handily with this guy in it, you know, that was maybe... Who knows what that comes down to? But I'm a believer in whatever math is happening, because on the whole, my experience has just plain old been better with every game I've played. And even the losses were harder fought, were not just like blowouts. They were like, man, I mean, they really made me want to do better the next game. Like a lot of side effects from this are, I think, just a better experience in the game.
I will say from anecdotal observation, I think, because I check after our matches to see what the parties were we were up against before these changes. And most of the time we were up against other five stacks. I think we might have never been against another five stack as a five stack.
Mm.
And that seems like, because the language here is occasionally, meaning the expectation should be when we cruise a five stack in quick match, we should expect another five stack. Like if we went to Team League.
Yeah.
But we never got that. And I don't know if that means we're one of the few groups that five stack in quick match. And so maybe this guy's right. Like the meta is everyone plays Team League. I don't think that's true, to be honest. I think most people play quick match. But so then the other thing is, well, there are other people playing as five man groups in quick match and we're not getting paired with them. And maybe the explanation is that there are more instances of solo queue players queuing than five stacks, because a lot of the other five stack teams might already be in games. Like there's got to be the population of parties of five have to be less than solo queue players because it takes five people.
Oh, I guarantee that's true.
Ecosystem to make that. But still, so that means we're constantly playing against solo queue players that have a better MMR than us. I don't know. That's maybe not necessarily the experience we want. We might want to play mostly five stacks in quick match.
Well, we'd like to.
We're not getting it right.
I'm just not sure they exist and then have the skill level thing to match up well either. I mean, and think about what it takes for us to get five out there. We're lucky in a sense because we've always usually got, like, especially on Tuesdays, like five of us are going to be around. But more often than not, it's two and three of us or four of us sometimes. And we're just wishing we had that fifth.
Sure.
And so I think we're weird in that we can even get that much going. I think the vast majority of players, five people with five lives all trying to coordinate their time to play together, I think we're assuming a lot about what people can or can't do, at least with the current growth of the game. So I'm guessing that solo queuers vastly outnumber people who are grouped in anything more than two.
I think that's fair, but I think another thing to take into consideration with all of this is that right now, you know, we use websites like HotsLogs to take a guess at what our personal MMRs are. And currently, there has been no point where Blizzard has reset our MMRs. So for people like us who've been in since the alpha, that number, that invisible number that determines, you know, what your quote-unquote skill rank is, for anybody who doesn't know, that's what MMR is. It tracks essentially your skill in the game. Mm-hmm. That number has not changed. It has just fluctuated with wins and losses since we were all learning the game. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon for people to get trapped at MMR levels that are lower than what they actually would be. Some people fall behind early on when they're trying to learn the game and they're just dying and losing all the time and they just can't dig themselves back up. I've looked at what HotsLogs offers on our team and we have a widely diverse range. It could be that this new matchmaker looks at that and says, well, hey, we got to match up these people who are at the lower end of the spectrum with people that are higher. We don't have a five-man that matches across the board. Let's just stick them with individuals that all beat their MMR numbers. But it's not taking into account the things we've done. I think this actually makes a very solid case for an MMR wipe being due.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know why they don't. Have they ever said why they just... Maybe they never say never that they would never not do it, but I've never heard any peep out of them that, yeah, we're resetting MMR soon.
They haven't announced any plans, but I thought I saw a response to a question like MMR being cycled for the last set of data. So it's not since the beginning of time, but it's your MMR based on your last 100 games or something like that. So that would create, but they haven't committed to anything, though. And I think what's happening, because we're still not even in season one for ranked, we're still in preseason. And Dustin has said on Twitter that, you know, it's not what they want, but they're waiting to get everything right before they start with seasons. I think it's because this matchmaking is a big issue and they're trying to get all that groundwork taken care of. So really, we're still providing experimental data for how this matchmaking system works before more official ranking happens, where MMR is really going to be critical, I think.
Yeah.
So I think we're still testing. We're still in beta, folks.
Hey, we're in beta. Let me tell you one more thing that's still in beta, and that's the incredible Space Lord Leoric skin, which we'll mention here briefly. But they basically data mined this thing. He's probably in the game now, but you can't access him. Well, that's the other thing I noticed. I don't know if anyone else out there saw this, but when you first launched the launcher after the patch this week, instead of getting Lunara walking out and doing her thing, Greymane does his thing for about a second and a half and then poof goes away and then it never happens again. And I've heard from a handful of listeners who've seen it. You did not see it, right, Bo? That did not.
Nope, I didn't get it. Or if I did get it, I might have been looking elsewhere as I was logging in. Yeah. So I missed it.
I have a feeling that we're getting Greymane pretty quick after the holidays, if not for Christmas. I'm still
looking forward to it.
Still wondering about that. I still have a feeling. Oh, and by the way, we should at least mention the bet. You guys won the bet. Nice job.
That's right.
Yeah, well done. She came out. There she is. Go buy her. But anyway, what was I getting at? So they data mined this thing. It seems to be a nod to Darth Vader and sort of the Star Wars phenomenon that is happening right now. And I have no problem with that. I think that's great. And it does seem pretty rad. And I suspect it will drive a lot of people to play Leoric more if they're not already playing him already.
He's got new VO. When he says yes, master, when you put a move command. And I was on the Curse site. There's an unofficial preview if you want to check it out. And it's like you're Darth Sidious.
Yeah, you're like Vader or Sidious or somebody else. You're basically...
He's Vader. You're Sidious.
Oh, you're Sidious because you're telling him where to go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's very, like, I think this is going to be a new legendary skin. It's going to be 15 freaking bucks probably for him.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
John,
it's so good.
I almost spoiled something for Bo just now when I didn't say it.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't seen Star Wars yet. Don't do this
I didn't
to me.
Do it.
Very close.
I came really close and I didn't do it.
And if you don't get that vulture, Scott, I've been waiting all episode since the beginning to tell you this. He gets his own variant of the vulture called the Space Lord Starbreaker.
Can anyone drive it?
I'm pretty sure this one's going to be purchasable, like, you know, with Uther and his Judgment mount and a Butcher with his Caramelk mount.
Well, then F the vulture, dude. I think that's all I might need.
Starbreaker looks so amazing. Now, I don't know if it's official, but they showed it video for us. I'm pretty sure it's happening.
Oh.
But I don't know. Nightmare, Illidan's Nightmare still. Did that ever get released?
Oh,
no.
No, it
that,
didn't.
That was featured too, and we never got it. And I'm still like, where's my matching Illidan mount for my master skin?
Yeah.
Where is that thing?
Well, Blizzard and their mooses and their, you know.
They're going to have, like, refer your mom program. And
I don't remember what Illidan's Nightmare mount is.
I don't either, dude.
Is it like a Malfurion and Tyrande making out?
No, it gets out of the way when you go to get on it and says you were not prepared every time.
It's like teens in a car. As soon as he goes to mount, it just pulls forward a little bit. And goes, they laugh and go, come on.
Like that old cowboy trick.
Yeah.
Jumping off the roof and then the horse moves. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, but I have faith that this man will be there. Why not? It doesn't seem like it's a problem. So, yeah, maybe I don't care about the vulture anymore because now they're making a variant. Bah, bah, bah. And then I'll be irritated when I get the actual vulture and go, well, now what did I do all that for? I already got one of these. Eh. Anyway, let's talk about this. Observer mode. You can download it. It's official. It's a little weird. You can download it. I kind of need it to hurry up and be in the game itself, but it's the official UI from the World Championship. So if you watched that stuff, then you know what we're talking about. Lots of like big pans and zooms, and you can kind of be a little slower about it. It's way better than just being in an observer slot in the game, at least in theory.
Gives more information.
Yeah, which I like.
Another super cool thing for Heroes of the Pants, too. I like that Blizzard is making all these adjustments to accommodate our pending tournament. It's very nice of them.
Yeah, it seems good. They say this, quote, we've been working closely with our community member, Ollie. To create,
that H, man, it's a killer.
It is killing me. To create a new interface for watching replays and observing matches in the client. Some of you may recognize a lot of these features from an earlier version we used at BlizzCon World Championships. While this probably won't be our final iteration, we wanted to get this into your hands now, as this new interface will be replacing the default replay and observer UI very soon. So essentially, it's a separate download for now that lets you do this, and eventually it'll be in the client.
Super easy to install, by the way. It tells you what folder you download a file, a mm-hmm. .interface file.
Yeah.
You just move it into the folder it tells you, and then when you log in, you press escape and go to the observer section of the options,
mm-hmm.
and there's a drop-down where it's like you can picking an add-on. You can pick the replay add-on, and then just go watch your replays. I checked it out today.
Mm-hmm.
This is super great, and I can't wait for this. I mean, we'd use it right away for the Heroes of the Pants too if it was starting tomorrow. I'd be like, yes, let's stream some of our games and let's use this thing. It really cleans things up. Also, not only good for live games, but also good for the replays because it gets rid of that damn replay thing, which we sometimes have to cover up with a JPEG graphic in the corner or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get rid of all that clutter and have a really nice Observer UI. This is amazing. So I'm glad to see some work being... I wasn't expecting it, and glad to see some work getting done on the UI.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints about those kinds of changes. So bring those on. You know, there's nothing quite as freaky as while you're working on a show to see Dropbox repeatedly say the message over and over, 200 files removed from your Dropbox. 300 files removed from your Dropbox. I don't know why it's doing this, so we're going to pause it and not let it ruin my life. We got calls. They come to us, 801-471-0462. You can also email us, core@heroesforyou.com. Like this guy.
This is Dom, and I'm calling in regards to Revan Geek calling in last week about giving people certain punishments for acting a fool in game. And I think one of the things we could do is hit them where it really hurts, which is their XP and gold, at what gamers really want, which is gold and experience. All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, here's the only problem with that idea. I like the idea of the punitive. The punitive qualities of your suggestion aren't bad. It's just that a lot of people may have purchased, spent real money on boosters, have bought stim packs. And if you're telling them, oh, that boost to gold and XP is now being nerfed because you were a jerk in a game, I think is just a whole another banana full of wax, if you know what I'm saying. It's a phrase, but yeah.
Nobody likes a banana full of wax.
No, they don't, especially not... Like gorilla earwax. Think of it that way.
It'd be like if you bought a TV at you guys have Best Buy in the States,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
So you buy a TV at Best Buy, and then you go in and the next day and berate one of their staff, so then they take your TV away for 2 weeks. Because, you'd be like, that doesn't work. You can't do that.
That's
so,
a pretty raw deal.
So, again, it's that whole, the company's not in the business of policing people's behavior. That's a job for not a retailer, mm-hmm. including Heroes. So it's, they've got to do something. But I think if there wasn't a purchase attached to it, would it still be a good idea? Maybe. But I think they'd also have to think about, well, we want to incentivize people to play our game, even those people that need to be smarter. I don't think they want to give them a reason to not play.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to, you can't just, yeah. I mean, even if
you're killing the dopamine cycle, it's like, well, yeah. Then they're just going to leave anyways. So I don't know.
I feel like there's a lesson in here for like parents and stuff. This doesn't necessarily work. Like withholding isn't always your answer. I'm not sure what the answer is in this case, but I'm not sure I think it would work.
And before the guy who writes in and says someone should just a hand should pop out of the screen and just punch the person in the face.
I'm into that.
Because the spanking parenting also doesn't work. So
John,
let's not put that
John, do you remember Tom Rossetti or whatever his name is that would pop out of the ground and?
Mr. Rossetti.
Yeah, he would do that from. I was calling him Tom Rossetti, but I'm thinking of Tom Nook. Anyway, he'd pop out of the ground if you turned off your 3DS or your DS, depending on which game you had. Too soon or prematurely, or you didn't save your progress or something. I can't remember what the deal was, but basically it was akin to sort of like you can cheat using this option, and he would pop out of the ground and make you listen to his dialogue for like 3 minutes.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's why not something like this? You log in and Uther pops up.
But he has to come out of a Nidus canal.
Yes. Yeah. He comes out of the Nidus worm and just, "Greetings, hero. I understand you've been using foul language in your matches. Let me tell you about the light. The light is important and is a pathway to goodness and kindness. You'll find you'll have better matches if you're good to people.
Yeah.
So maybe for all our sakes, you just decide to be a little nicer from now on."
But Uther, how do I deal with these noobs that don't know how to play? Like, they should already know how to play. I need to tell them. Yeah. They need to be taught, Uther.
Yeah, what do you say then, Nidus Canal Uther?
"Listen, son, you're taking this all a bit seriously. Are you eating enough? Is your blood sugar too high?
Look, I'm supposed to be rank 1. And I'm stuck at rank 30 because of all these noobs in the game. Blizzard should fix their game. What are you doing to fix the game, Uther?"
"I knew a young paladin who wanted everything fast. His name was Arthas, and he turned out to be kind of a dick. Don't be Arthas."
And I can't skip any of it. I have to be able to watch the whole thing, and then you go back into the worm, and it goes, there you go. And then you leave. A little Siege of Worlds music.
Yeah.
Brilliant. We've solved the problem. We just did. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Yeah,
Heroes Clippy. It's like Clippy, except it's voice acted by John.
Oh, no. As far as I'm concerned, Uther should voice, as John's voice, should voice all help things. A phone call.
I see you're writing a Microsoft Word document.
Have you been to the store? Because that's usually the answer.
Yes.
All right, let's get on this, Blizzard. Get John to do some VO.
I like it. The grind is good, says this call.
Hi, this is Zero. During core number 9, we had a discussion regarding basically incentivizing leveling, stuff like that. John loves leveling. Bo likes collecting heroes, and he has no reason to spend money. Why not introduce a daily grind system, much like you see in these handheld phone games? Basically, every hero that has a certain level, be it level 10, makes 10 gold a day. This gives Bo a reason to have so many characters and leveled, and he gets like an extra 200, 300 gold a day, whereas John gets to tickle that itch too and get reward in the long run. Just an idea. Figured I'd throw it out there. Chocolat!
Is it different than what they were going to do temporarily that they pulled? Do you remember that whole thing? It wasn't exactly like a thing that, you know, it's not like Farmville where your stuff grew overnight, but it was this thing where you, what was the deal? And they pulled it before they got too far.
Oh, when they were doing wasn't gems or artifacts or
whatever it was called. Well, yeah, but it was like that. And if you, depending on how much you played, you had some like actual battlefield advantages and the community lost their minds and said, F that. And then the game, and then like almost as quick as they put it up, they pulled it. But I can't remember what it was exactly. But I don't think he's really describing that. I mean, I love the idea that wouldn't it be cool if when the game was off, you were trickling in gold? I mean, that'd be great somehow.
I think that's a cool idea. I also think it's a cool idea that once you hit 10 and you unlock your little gold frame around your hero, that playing that hero maybe nets you more gold. Like, it's considered now a golden hero, and you will get more gold for matches with that hero as kind of an incentive to keep playing them beyond 10. Because I think that's a problem that a lot of people run into as well, is, you know, if you're sticking with quick match and just leveling up tunes, once you hit 10, the grind to 20 at that point for just getting a little bit more gold when you get up there is so steep that nobody wants to do it. There's just not a reward for it. It's so... I think if they made some changes to how characters work post 10, I think that would be a nice little influence to keep you going.
I'm into it big time because, I mean, it's like doing the slog to level 9 to 10, getting to 15 for that next gold parcel. It's like doing that 5 times. It's just, I wouldn't recommend anybody do it ever. Same with getting to level 20. It's billions and billions of XP. Like, just, it's just not an efficient way to get gold. Once you've got to level 9 with your character and got all the little gold bonuses, you're done. I only have Cho and Gaul left to get to level 9, and then that's it. The only gold I get are from winning and daily quests. So this guy's idea about doing something for my characters that are level 10 in some way that provides that economy for me, I'm all in on it. And I saw a tweet from Dustin Browder this week where he said that someone tweeted him saying the level 20 rewards kind of suck. What about an extra tier of master skin? And he expressed his agreement that the level 20 rewards suck. So I'm kind of hoping that means they're thinking about ways to make the post 10 experience cooler. Mm. And so I want.
Me
honestly,
want.
Yeah. I think all of leveling needs a little bit of a work. It, like, we still have levels and balance for a game that has dramatically changed from the time where they decided what those awards should be. I mean, there's still tiers where it's like, all right, well, you're going to unlock your other ult now. Well, except they got rid of talent gating. So no, you really aren't going to unlock any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think they need to take a serious look at from 1 to 20, what you're unlocking and what you're getting for it. I still think they should relook at, you know, what you get for master skins. Speaking of tweets, Dustin Browder, someone said, hey, it does kind of suck having to buy these. I know that's what you guys want to do, but what if by buying the master skin, you unlocked a fourth color variation for all skins? That way people who have paid for a skin still get something by purchasing that master skin.
Whoa.
And he really liked that idea. So that would be cool.
Yeah, that's so much. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's just a cool idea, but I wouldn't have thought they were. I mean, if he thought that was cool, I'm even more excited. Think
more, I like that.
Think more things that are cool, Dustin Browder. We like that idea. All right. Here's the New York City connection we've all been waiting for. Here you go.
Hey, this is Andrew from Atlanta, Georgia. I was listening to the Core show, and you guys were talking about esports and how Cloud9 has multiple groups that do different games, and how Cloud9 got an award for best team, esports team, and how you were trying to correlate that to something in the regular sports industry. You know, it'd be kind of like giving an award to New York City for the best teams. You know, they have a baseball team, a couple, and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, awarding New York a team, a best sports team award because of their collection of teams that they have in the city. Take care.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah, that is kind of what that's like. I nobody's doing that, obviously, so we don't treat it the same, but I don't think he's wrong.
No. Except now everybody in New York just went, hey,
hang on a second.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, everything except for the Mets. That's great because the Mets suck. Oh, boy, the emails now. I'm going to get them. But anyway, yeah, that's it's an interesting point. It's a brave new world with this video game stuff, and I think it affords them the ability to be a little bit weird because nobody's going to give New York a thing. This would be more like an owner of the Yankees also owning the Knicks, also owning the Mets, also owning the Giants, for example, or the Rangers. Let's say they own all of those teams. Boy, look at this sports brain on Scott today, by the way. Then giving him an award. That's more like what Cloud9 is.
Yeah. Or, even more so, it'd be like if it was the Facebook Knicks and the Facebook Mets, and they gave Facebook the award for best sports organization.
Holy crap! I don't like any of what you just said. I hate
that. Could happen. Idea. They'll be the Twitter Jazz and the Microsoft Bulls. Look, they're already buying, like, in my town. I don't even know what it's called now. The Scotiabank place or something.
Yeah, ours
is, like, Scotiabank is a bank in Canada. It is the worst name of a stadium ever. Nope. It's stupid.
I got you beat. So Delta used to own ours for the Jazz, and it was called the Delta Center, and it sounded good, right? It rolls off the tongue. The Delta Center, and that's where the Jazz play, and that's when we had our best games against the Bulls. Almost won the championship that year. Blah 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 blah, and then they changed it to Energy Solutions Center.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that was a real show.
I thought I was sad because we went from Bank One Ballpark, but everybody just called it Bob.
Yeah,
which was pretty great because they'd just be like, "Yeah, we're gonna go to Bob and watch the Diamondbacks play tonight."
Sure.
And now I think I don't know what it is now. I can't remember. I think Chase bought it.
Yeah, I think it's Chase, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Chase. I don't think that has changed since then.
And that sucks too. So Energy Solutions is no longer doing it. Now it's Vivint Home. It's like home protection services. They're like this company that sells home security systems. So now it's Vivint Home Security Stadium.
Why is there nobody here that goes, you know what? People love going to a place that feels like their own, the cool name. Like, we had our Ottawa Senators used to play in a place called the Palladium.
Yeah.
How amazing. I want to go to the Palladium just because it's called the Palladium.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Chase because it sounds like I'm going to a business.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
Like, and if for some reason, these businesses that are so good at making ads and getting us to, you know, buy their stuff and consumerism can't figure out how to make a stadium work. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. It's horrible.
Who is the one in the Staples Center is another one. Now, that one kind of, I don't mind them when they roll off the tongue and they sound okay just saying them. Like, Staples Center, tonight at the Staples Center. It sounds okay. But the minute, like, Office Max buys it, then it sounds like shit.
At the Office Max Center.
Oh, that's awful, dude. That sounds like a place where I can get color copies made.
It should be the Technodrome brought to you by Office Max.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. I don't know. It bugs me. Anyway, so who would the Google team be? I liked where you were headed. Who do we give the Google? Who gets Google?
Is it the Google Heat?
Nice one.
And we all felt the Google Heat.
Yeah,
and it would be the LinkedIn Raptors.
There you go, LinkedIn Raptors. That's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what? The future. I wouldn't be surprised though if the future of sports weren't very corporate. Well, they already are corporate, but much more brandy than they are now. I wouldn't be surprised. All right. We got one final email. This is from Dervish. Okay. Dervish.
Do they whirl?
Only when prompted. He says this. Hey guys, love the show. Listen every week. Just as an FYI about your incorrect comment why Cho and Gall numbers are off on Hotslog. If you read their website, we were saying, well, why are they different, right? That was our whole point. It says, if you read their website notes, they parse / leave out their general numbers for characters that are below level 5. So since it's possible to have a level 4 Cho playing with a level 6 Gall, that Gall can lose. But you won't see that Cho loss on Hotslog, hence the disparity. Hadn't thought of that. It's actually a really good point.
I actually noticed this right after the episode, and I was like, well, that probably is why. And then I was kind of like, well, we didn't know we were going to talk about it. So
yeah. So,
but yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
He finishes up by saying it's a new change they added only a week or so ago to try and deal with the screw-ups on their stats for the first week release of a new hero. Obviously, the players who are new to it will suck and skew the numbers. They wanted to remove that skew from the aggregate so you don't get 32% win rate. And all new heroes released look like they blow. Thanks so much. Have a great week, Dervish. Really good point.
Yeah, the only problem is you can get to level 5 in like 2 games.
Yeah, that's true. Well, again, it goes to your leveling problem. Way too fast between like 0 and 8, and then things go to hell after that and take forever. Like, will I ever hit 20 with some of these characters? Probably not, dude.
Yeah, probably not. Not when they keep adding heroes to the game, because you're going to want to keep playing them.
Yeah, you know, I hit 13 with Vala or somebody the other day, and I couldn't believe it. Like, that seems like insurmountable to me. It's taken that long.
There's no reason to intentionally level something past 10. Play it if you want, but the gold is not worth. Like, this is not an endeavor worth your time.
No.
And bragging about it doesn't even net you anything either. Like, 10 is a number you want to hit. They added those extra 10 levels just because they wanted. People were complaining that they got to level 10 and then they were disincentivized from playing the level 10 characters because like want to play some other characters and get the gold. So they just said, okay, well, we put levels in. Have a nice day.
Well, they're
like, it's still undercooked right now.
Yeah, I agree. Everything,
it's just for funsies.
I see that stuff changing. It'll change in the future. I'll tell you what won't change is your ability to find this show at heroesforyou.com. You can go there right now. All our links are there. Everything you need to know, including information about who we are and where you can find us. Like, on Twitter, for example, Bo Schwartz, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, core heroes for the show. Why not visit our Reddit page, frogpants.reddit.com? You can hang out in there, all you weird Redditors. What else? Oh, join us in the game. /join frogpants. And there's people in there. They're talking. They're hanging out. That group is growing all the time. There's always someone to play with. It's going to do it for us this week. Hope everyone's having a great Christmas season. In fact, we won't even talk to you till Christmas is over and New Year's is on its way. We hope you have a wicked week, that you all go see Star Wars before Bo does. And that's going to do it for us, for me, for John, and for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Bo's on.
Is he? 3-on-3. I like the sound of that. Oops. Gosh dang it. I just quit the game.
Whoa. I can't get off. Can't get down.
Oh, shit. The ball is square. I am flying up. Shit.
Here lies Scott Johnson. His final words, boost. I'm dying of shit.
I'd be happy if it went in mine. Slow, like little pushy. Okay, good job. Good job. I'm going to push it in. I got to admit, that's kind of fun to do.
Gingerly.
Okay, gingerly.
Oh, I almost went in.
I think it'll fit. I really do think it'll fit.
You dick.
You're such a dick slider. Okay, this is it.
I almost had it.
Here, wait. I'm stopping it. Oh, no, I'm not. All right. Man, this is the most illegitimate game we've ever played. Yeah, there's something I'm enjoying about it. I can't put my finger on it. Well, I am putting my finger on it. That's the button. There should only be two, or one at the most.
Oh, you switched teams.
Oh, shit.
All right,
this is it. It's in. Someone just tap it. Someone tap it in.
No!
Tap it. Oh! Oh my gosh, dude. That's it.
Wait.
I'm getting out.
You glorious bastard.
I really want to make it happen. Okay, there we go. It needs to come down, and then someone needs to nail it on the way down. Oh my gosh, F it. Stay in. Get out. I'm already out. Here we go. This is it. Oh! It's in.
You know what sounds really good right now is a ding dong.
Doesn't that sound good?
I'm into the ding dong.
Could really go for a ding dong right now. I haven't had one in years.